And so when I shifted that internally to value money more and value the relationship that I had with money more, things shifted in the way I showed up, the identity that I showed up as, not what I was necessarily doing. And it was like all of the things that I had been doing before that, once I shifted the identity, just fell into place.
Hi, friends, and welcome to Do the Damn Thing. I'm your host, Lauren LaRue. I'm an entrepreneur who started with a small blog, and now I am the CEO of the LaRue brand, a lifestyle business and branding studio for women entrepreneurs building intentional lives and intentional businesses. But don't fret, this podcast is for everybody. I created this podcast with the intent to offer people a safe space to land and learn about the journey we're all on together. It's not just about being happy. It's about healing, getting to know yourself, and living intentionally, which is why this podcast is the right place for all of you beautiful souls showing up ready to change your life. Hello, my friends, and welcome back to another fabulous episode of the Do the Damn Thing podcast. Yet again, I'm really excited to be bringing you guys another fabulous guest. Today, I am joined by Paula Day, money expert, CPA, and founder of Paula Day Coaching. Paula's absolute passion is to help smart, driven women understand the language of money and achieve business success for lifestyle and wealth. Paula spent 18 years working in the government and on large-scale million to billion-dollar infrastructure projects in business advisory roles to senior leaders and CEOs, government officials, and parliament before funding her own company to help women entrepreneurs to understand the language of money, grow wealth, and become successful CEOs. A certified practicing accountant or CPA, she climbed the corporate ladder fast in leadership, business management, and business advisory, mastering the skills needed to run successful large-scale operations. Passionate about women in leadership, Paula paved the way for other women to be awarded the same opportunities as she made for herself. Paula's very first entrepreneurial experience was through launching an online t-shirt company whilst in corporate, where she landed her t-shirts on the top 10 pages of Amazon. That was the moment she realized just how much she loved entrepreneurship. Just when she thought she would jump all in on her business, she had a marriage breakdown and lost it all. Paula, not one to give in, instead created her now thriving coaching business and used this as her vehicle to leave the corporate world and create an impact on a larger scale. A certified neuro-linguistic programming master practitioner coach and hypnotherapist, Paula specialized in business coaching, advisory, and understanding the language of money and growing wealth. Paula has trained hundreds of women to understand their money and create businesses that bring them both lifestyle and wealth. She is here to make a difference and remind everyone about their infinite potential. That was, as always, all of my guests always have fabulous introductions. Paula, I'm so happy to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Why don't you take a moment and introduce yourself to the people? I think based on your introduction, we all know that you love the corporate world and you brought it into your own coaching practice, but I want to hear more about that trigger point where everything fell apart that made you build up this beautiful business.
Okay. Well, thank you. As you'll hear from my accent, I'm based in Australia. I'm in Melbourne, Australia. So we're doing this, which is the beautiful part of COVID that that opened up the world, really. Anyway, yes, as that intro said there, I started in the corporate space. I started off as an accountant, and I climbed my way up that corporate ladder really fast. For two reasons. One, there was a big push on women in leadership, and so there was a lot of mentorship, and I went, yep, sign me up, help me along. And also, I had my first child. I was 26 years old, and I had this beautiful baby boy, and he didn't walk. He had a couple of different things about him, and so I had to make a decision really early on whether I was going to be the caregiver and help my son through what he was going through, or whether I was going to progress the career and make the money for the family. And I knew that we were going to need a lot of money for the support that we had to give him. And my dad helped me make that decision. He was with me. My eldest son had autism and also a disease that made his legs not work as well as everyone else's. Most kids by the age of 8 are in a wheelchair with what he has. He's now 18, he's not in a wheelchair. And the reason being is his mindset is so strong. He doesn't believe he's got anything wrong with him. And my dad stepped in and made sure that he had all the help that he needed while I went off and made the money for the family. And so there was a lot of pressure on my shoulders, right? I put in so much effort and work, and I climbed that corporate ladder fast because I assumed that I was that person. I assumed that I was that leader. And that's how I stepped up as fast as possible. I was just modeling and assuming. And I didn't really realize what I was doing at the time, but really I was manifesting that new future because I believed in myself so much, and I believed that I could be that person. But what happened is, you know, like a lot of people in corporate, or, you know, there's probably a lot of people listening here going, oh, I'm stuck in this job, is that, you know, it's not that I didn't love the job. It's just that I didn't get to see my family. Mm-hmm. By that stage, I had 3 kids. I had, a brilliant team, but I was always on the road traveling or always at work or in parliament or needed by a CEO and not able to leave when I wanted to, not able to see my family. Even when I was at home, I was on call. You know, I was really not having the flexibility that I wanted to. Mm-hmm. So the money was there, but no flexibility. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to do something different. So I was listening to a podcast similar to this, you know, I was listening to someone else talk about their story. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to try their story. I'm just going to give it a go. And it was, you know, a couple who said that they were doing a t-shirt business and they put some t-shirts on Amazon. And I thought, oh gosh, how hard could that be? Now, I'm not a designer. I haven't got any of those kind of skills. I'm an accountant, you know, so I don't have any of that background. So a lot of YouTubing later, and I hired a coach who had done it before as well. And she helped me a lot too, but it was a lot of YouTubing, a lot of finding my way through to understand how to use all the systems and things like that. And I finally got some t-shirts up, and I started to put these just slogan t-shirts up, and I was just treating it like a hobby, like a game. I was purchasing a few for my family for gifts, and all of a sudden I woke up one morning and a whole heap of my t-shirts had sold. And that t-shirt was selling so much, so many t-shirts that it had made it all the way to the top 10 pages of Amazon. Now I was like, oh my God, like, why would a t-shirt with just some silly slogan that I have put up like make it to this?
Yeah, that's people so amazing.
Wear it, right? People wear it. So I'm like, okay, right. So it inspired me. I thought, oh well, I'm gonna put more up. And then I was, you know, also I was thinking, okay, I'll just put some more up, and I joined a coaching group. Like, I just started to progress it, and I ended up hiring designers. I think in the end, I had about 900 designs up on Amazon.
Wow, that's incredible. Oh my gosh. I thought you were going to say like
loading,
50.
Loading.
That's crazy. No. Oh my gosh. Okay, this story is getting juicy. Keep going. A 900 t-shirt business.
900 t-shirts up on Amazon. I was making more money in my sleep than I was in my corporate job. And I was getting ready to jump. I was getting ready. I thought, this is it. I'm going to spend time with my kids. I'm going to be a t-shirt business owner. How amazing is this? I'll jump into this. But it wasn't to be, because I had a really unexpected marriage breakdown. And I woke up the next morning after that, and I went to get onto my t-shirt business as I usually did before I went to work. I would jump on and check how it was going. And I couldn't get on. I'm like, I can't get on. The password's not working. And he's like, oh, no, that's mine. And all the passwords had been changed. I quickly checked my bank account. All my money had been cleared to zero, cleared out into other accounts that I didn't know about. Now, this is someone with a financial background, with an accounting background, who had been to so many events saying, women, make sure you've got your own bank account. Make sure you're set up for yourself. And I didn't have it.
Yeah.
And I had no idea that someone could, who I thought loved me so much, could do that to me. Mm-hmm. And so I found myself walking away with my kids, the car, what I could fit in the car, and, you know, box of Barbie dolls for my daughter. And I had, you know, three kids at the time, and I rocked up to mum's, and my ego was so big that I didn't even want to tell mum. I just couldn't even, mm-hmm. I could not even articulate it. I was just like, can we stay here for a little bit? And do you have some money that I can borrow? And she just opened her wallet, and there's like a 50 there, and like, I'll take that. And I just kept going. I just kept going, and I thought, oh, okay, right. So I, for the next 7 months, I tried to get that t-shirt business back, and on paper I did, and really in reality I never got it. Mm-hmm. And so I had to let that go, but I also didn't want to let go of my entrepreneurial dream. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, a lot of people's first businesses are not their next businesses, you know, and so I didn't want to let go of that. Like, if you're sitting in that space right now going, oh, this business didn't work, like, don't let go of that dream, because I thought, I've got to do something else. I cannot just sit here in this corporate space and do the same thing. So I still had that t-shirt coach, but I could barely use her because I couldn't even get into my business. Mm-hmm. And I hired a second coach, and I did it when I had no money. I stuck it on a credit card. I paid up front because, you know, I'm an accountant. I like to pay up front. And I put it all on there, and I put it all on the line, and I said, we're in this for the long haul. I signed up for a year. I said, I've got a lot of stuff to work through, and I don't know what I want to be, but I've got to be something different. And I thought I was going to be a speaker, but as we worked through it, he was like, you'd just be silly not to be a coach, mm-hmm. because you've had all the coaching skills, you've had all the leadership skills, and you've had all the business skills. Let's direct this into coaching. And he helped me set up the business that I have today. And I'm so, so grateful for that and what he did for me and for many people. But now I get to do this for other women. Now I get to help them really set themselves up for their financial future.
That's amazing, Paula. Thank you so much for sharing that. There's so much in the story and in your story and in your personal journey that I want to unpack. First, I want to mention your son, and obviously he's his mom's son, and his mindset. That's amazing. I'm so touched by that. And your husband, your ex-husband. Let's talk about that. Let's unpack that, because I know everybody is sitting, driving their cars or sitting on their couch, listening to their podcast, and we need to pick their jaws up off the floor from what you just announced. So let's talk about the moment that your t-shirt business was essentially stolen from you. And before I even dive into this, I want to mention something that feels really interesting about this podcast and really interesting about your story, because I think so many people have been in situations where they have fallen victim to such a heinous act that someone did to them, right? So you're a victim of your husband essentially stealing from you, and someone who not only you were once in love with, but you had children with. Like, that is such a deep and intimate relationship, and this person set out to just hurt you. And I think everyone at least once in their life has been in a position like that. And I'm curious to hear, not even just the money mindset stuff, but the mindset in general that you took away from that, of however long it took you, which however long it did, it is the timeline that works. I sat in my victim mentality for so many years. How long did it take you to step out of the victim mentality? And have you ever gotten to a point where you've decided, like, okay, that happened so that I could get to this coaching business? I went through those trials and tribulations so that I could get here and have this thriving business. And what were the mindset shifts that you went through, both money and, you know, just personally, that got you from that moment to where you are now?
Absolutely. Shortly after that moment, I think I was just in a trauma response, mm-hmm. right? So I was just like, I need to get my life back in order, and I need to make sure I get this life set up for these kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had kids, my kids were at private schools. Like, it's not like I had a life that was not wealthy. Like, we had beautiful holidays, a gorgeous home, like nice cars, like I had nice stuff. So I wasn't willing to drop the level of comfort that the family had. So I thought, you know, I have to, so I was just in this trauma response, like, make this happen. This business, this new business has to happen, and I'll just do whatever it takes to make it happen. So I was in that space, which I think served me well at the time. And I think it took me a while to realize that, and this really landed with me. I think it was probably about maybe 7 months after or 9 months after I was going through, I just sort of like finalized the divorce and I was getting into a home and like purchasing a house and doing all the things. And I was at an NLP training, and the trainer said to me these words, and I've just remembered them from then on, that there is no right and there is no wrong. There just is. There just is. Like, there is their version and there is your version. It wasn't even in relation to me, right? And that just landed for me because he truly believed in his version, and he truly believed that that was his money and his business. And I truly believed it was mine. But who's right and who's wrong? Does it really matter? Do I hold on to that forever and get upset about it, or do I let this go and move on? And I just chose to just see it as there is no right or wrong. There just is, and I'm just going to move forward. So I guess I didn't stay in that victim for too long, but there was definitely a trauma response that I went through, and a lot around not feeling worthy, like not being picked, not feeling worthy, like feeling like how I was treated, that I had to work through to get to where I am today.
That's amazing. That's so empowering to everyone who's listening, because I think so many people feel that once they are a victim of something, like that becomes a part of their identity, that they in fact have to become the victim. And that's what can be a massive sort of negative shift that so many people experience in their mindset of, well, I've been the victim of things, so now I am the victim. Like, I have to play the victim. I have to be the one who's always angry, the one who's always in fear of, you know, falling victim to other things. So the fact that you were able to pull yourself out of that so quickly is so incredible. And I want to ask you something that I hadn't thought of before, but just popped into my head based on what you're talking about, is I'm really curious, because I was just listening to another podcast, and it was someone who had a guest on. Her story was pretty similar to yours, where she went through like a financial awakening, if you're willing to call it that. And she basically decided, like, okay, I have to make a certain amount of money to sustain my life. And I think that that's really interesting, because it's pretty similar to what you just said about the fact that, like, instead of getting kind of oblique with the vision that you're giving yourself, you set a line, a bar that you had to meet, saying, okay, I lived a life of decent comfort before. I'm not willing to give that up. Like, you weren't going to go get a $40,000 a year salary job and call it quits and just be like, okay, I'm good. Like, I have a job now, so I'm making money. You decided and told yourself, I'm going to give myself the life I had before, if not better. So what do you think giving yourself that very strong baseline did for your mindset and for your future and for your coaching business?
Yeah, I think it gave me a vision and stepped into that identity. But also what has come up from me there is we tend to have these set points. So my set point was set at that. Like, I already knew how much I was, you know, used to making. And although I lost everything within 7 months, I had all of that back.
That's incredible.
Within 7 months, I had all of that back, because we have these like set points that we're just used to. And so we're able to make that money back. And you'll see it all the time, like in the media, where, you know, someone will fall and they'll lose everything. They'll lose their company. But yet, you know, the next couple of years, they've got it all back, or they've made more. For me, it was about the making more than that. That was the issue, right? Because I had that set point and I was comfortable. But when I could see that other people around me in my masterminds were making more than me, I'm like, oh, hang on a minute. Like, how do I do that? And I felt like I was doing all the things, like I was actually doing the same things as them. But what I wasn't realizing that was a couple of things. I didn't value money as much as them. Like I didn't even have money as a value that I valued. I didn't like, it was just always there. So I didn't have it as a value going for. And so when I shifted that internally to value money more and value the relationship that I had with money more, things shifted in the way I showed up. The identity that I showed up as, not what I was necessarily doing. And it was like all of the things that I had been doing before that, once I shifted the identity, just fell into place.
That's amazing.
And that's when the money came, right? Yeah. That's when I allowed myself to have and, you know, receive more money because I valued it more. And also I stepped into that next level version of myself.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think identifying, that was one of my questions for you, was, you know, during that period of your life, what were the money blocks that you thought you were facing? So it's really interesting to hear that, because I think a lot of people go through kind of the opposite block where they place perhaps too much of a value on money, meaning they identify money or abundance or financial success with their inherent self-worth. And you kind of had the opposite transition where you decided, okay, I'm going to assign a value to money. And as I keep earning it and as I keep, you know, pursuing this goal and this dream of starting a coaching business, you felt your self-worth rise, not because of the money you were making, but because of the determination you had and because of the work ethic you were putting into creating this life that you wanted for yourself. I think that's super interesting that you kind of had sort of a reversal effect on the value that you place on money. I love that.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's amazing. Okay. So we know your backstory now. We are all applauding you. We know that you're obviously very qualified, not only from a personal standpoint, but very clearly qualified from a experience standpoint to talk about money. So now I want to get into the juicy details of your coaching practice and how you coach clients and the conversations that you have, because I know every single person on this world, no matter how good you get, we all face blocks around money. We all face blocks around financial abundance. And I want to talk about first, what are the most common blocks that you see with your clients and who are these clients? So if you're seeing really common blocks, you know, are they amongst entrepreneurs? Are they amongst women who were once C-suite and entrepreneurs? Or, you know, who are you seeing these blocks with and what are the blocks?
Okay. So, oh my gosh. I've seen these blocks in so many women. So firstly, I work with women and they're all business owners. And it doesn't matter how long they've been in business, these blocks can pop up. And they, you know, as I said, you have those set points. So, you know, they could be going along beautifully in business. And sometimes I've had people who are, you know, 15 years, 20 years in business, they're making money, but they're not making the money. They're not working out how to make more money. Like they're not, it's just not the amount that they want to bring in for their family. So some of the common things, wanting to be saved. And that comes in, these blocks are really quite unconscious. So if it's all right, I'll share a quick story one of my clients. Please. There, because I think it really, it might resonate with some people.
Absolutely.
My client, Kerry, she runs a PR company. She's run it for 15 years. Kerry's really successful, huge on LinkedIn, has many clients, really good at what she does. But what she was finding before she came to me was invoices weren't getting paid quick enough and the clients were slowing down, and she was just really worried about like keeping up and, you know, looking, because she looked after the family as well. But just before that, what she didn't share with me before we went through the money blocks sort of exercises and looked into these deeply, is that Kerry had actually had a stroke. And underneath all of the layers, what she really wanted deeply more than anything was to be saved. Right? Because she wasn't being safe. She was the one who was running the family. She was the one who's looking after the kids, and she's also running the business, and she's supporting her and her husband. Her husband worked, but he didn't earn as much as her. Right? So she's looking after everyone. And for so much of her life, she wanted to be saved. And that wanting to be saved didn't even come from her. It came from her mother, who did not have the same skills as she had and had not set up the same income and business as she had. So her mother wanted to be saved. And then she took that on and she deeply just wanted to be saved. Someone to come and just pull her out of this and look after her. Well, she created that. She's like, Paula, I created it in my illness because I literally had to be saved. And she goes, I didn't realize that I did that, that I couldn't be saved anywhere. So I created it in that I actually had a stroke and I had to be saved.
Wow, and that is incredible.
Save myself, right? And she's like, I had to save myself because I had to come back. I had to come back. And so these unconscious blocks can not only block us in our business, and we can feel like we're coming up against barriers, and we're like, we just need to work harder, and you work harder and you still don't get there. They can show up in different ways. And if you don't deal with them, if you don't let these stories go and these underlying beliefs go, they're going to keep popping up for you, which is, you know, what happened to me, what happened to Karen, right? Some other blocks that I see really commonly is, look, they don't want to look at their money because they don't want to really go into it because they feel like they're not good enough with money. Maybe they were told they weren't good at maths or that, you know, look, leave that with your partner or hire an accountant, hire a bookkeeper. Well, you can do all of that. And I strongly suggest if you have a business that you do have an accountant or a bookkeeper or both. However, if you're not looking at your own money and knowing what's going in and what's going out, then you're not in control of it. And you don't know really what that accountant and bookkeeper are really doing. Okay, not everyone's fantastic at their job, you know. You probably come across some people who haven't been so fantastic.
Right? Yes, absolutely.
But you want to know what's going on, right? So getting clear and looking at your money, like actually managing money, actually looking at your money, making time for you to know what's going in and what's coming out. And sometimes I feel too that a lot of women only focus on the reducing of expenses. I need to tighten my budget. I can't do that. I can't do this. And I think a lot of the advice out there, especially aimed towards women and especially mums, is like save money, you know, cut the grocery bill, all of those things. Instead of, I think a much easier way to do it is actually just to let go of your money blocks, step into a new identity of yourself and actually ask for more money. Ask for more money.
I love that. Let's do that. I need to start doing that. Let's everybody, we're committing right now to doing that. We're asking for more because that is something I have been struggling with so recently of yesterday and today, because I just recently filed my taxes for last year. It was my highest earning year. I made my first six-figure year, which is so, so exciting. Thank you. And it feels so amazing to be able to admit and say that because I worked my freaking ass off for it and I deserve it, right? So then I get to, you know, submitting my taxes and the whole mess of like mindset crap that comes out of that, thinking like I spent too much here. How can I like make sure it looks like I spent as much money on my business and just all the workarounds that you go through. And I finally submitted it and I thought to myself kind of what I just said about having like a lowest amount of threshold of, okay, when I get to April, I'm just going to manifest that I make exactly what I need to make to pay the difference in my taxes. You know, I paid quarterly what I thought was due last year, but it might be wrong. And if I need more, we're just manifesting that I make that money. And so then I've been trying to, you know, with that mindset, with that in mind, I've been trying to cut a little bit of costs and so-called trim the fat of my finances. And yesterday, let me really quickly back up and say, several months ago, I went to the Forbes 30 Under 30 conference, and that was a big expense, paying for the ticket, the flight, the hotel, the food, all of it. You know, I probably spent around $1,500, which for a small business owner at the beginning, you know, still beginning stages of a business and having so many expenses, that's a lot. So then yesterday I called my mom and I called, and I had done the same thing with the Forbes event. And I was like, I need you to convince me to go to this conference I want to go to. The tickets are so expensive. I have to pay for a flight. I have to pay for a hotel, but I know it'll be so beneficial for me. And in a way, I think that is kind of what you're saying of like asking for more, because when you put yourself out there, no matter like what it is versus like pricing, networking, however it is, you are asking for more in return, whether it's financial abundance or, you know, the like more opportunities, whatever it is. So my mom was like, Lauren, why do you need convincing? Like, this is such a great investment in your business. Just pull the trigger. Like, you're going to feel so good about spending the money. And lo and behold, you know, $2,200 later, I feel so excited about it because I feel like I was convincing myself that there was a threshold for my abundance. And in turn, me spending that money is, I think, a way of breaking that barrier and breaking that subconscious belief of like, no, there is no threshold. The more I spend, the more I receive. The more I put out into my business, the more that's going to return to me. So I'm so glad you're bringing that up because yes, that's the mindset we're going with, is financial abundance is coming and we're asking for more and more and more.
I am so excited for you. First of all, like massive congratulations. And like, this is so exciting and so inspiring for everyone like who's listening to this, because it's so true. Like, and I think this is where a lot of women fall down. They don't invest in themselves. They think, oh no, I can't afford it, or I've got to spend the money on something else, or I better save that money for this. Or especially when they've got kids too, like, oh no, I can't spend it on me. I have to spend it on my kids, or I have to spend it on someone else. And they put themselves last. They put themselves last. Like, regardless, you know, you might, I've seen women put their pets before them, right? You know, like they put themselves last. But when we put ourselves first, and that is a huge shift that I had to do as well, is you have to put yourself first and invest in those things like the education, getting yourself in the rooms, because you never know. Like, it may be an event that you get one thing, like you walk away, like what I did, where I had that one event where I'm like, walk away, and I just took that one little thing. Or it might be that you meet someone. You never know. But if you don't put yourself in the room,
absolutely,
you're not going to.
Yeah, exactly. And that's been a big mindset shift for me too, because this is something, a fear that, in a subconscious block that I've worked on a lot over the last several years growing my own business, is knowing like it really is, and people will say this, you know, to you, knocking, burning down the door, repeating it as many times as possible, like, it's always about the people you know. And I don't think people should take that in a sense of like, you can't be successful unless you have connections. It's just about, like, I've learned so much. There's so much beauty in the referral process in entrepreneurship, because it's not just about like saying, oh, here's a business I can offer you. Like, we're so interconnected, especially as women entrepreneurs, which is such a beautiful thing, because now you and I are going to do this beautiful podcast, and we're on such a, like, a, you know, we've only spoken two times, but we're having this beautiful conversation. And now every time someone asks me, hey, do you have someone who can help me with my finances? Do you know a money mindset coach? Do you know X, Y, and Z? I have not only other names, but now I can add your name to that list. And there's so many people that we can refer to. And I think that's the conversation that it really should be around when people say like it's about the people you know. And that goes into investing into yourself. Like, it's about the doors that you open for yourself. And I know that this investment is going to pay off tenfold, because I'm opening those doors for myself. And now I'm going to go meet all of these amazing people and all of these amazing women who are going to want to connect with me and my business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm excited for you.
Yay. Oh my gosh. Thank you. I'll have to keep you updated. I'm so excited. So that's a perfect segue. For the question that I wanted to ask you next, which we've already kind of touched on, but I want to be really direct with it. So I talked about my own threshold, but I want to know what advice, or even how you coach someone to realize what their upper limit is with finances. So if a client comes to you and says, like, even if it's a lot of money, hey, I've been making $1 million and I'm doing great, but I can't seem to pass that specific point of money. I've been making it for 3 years, 5 years, and I just can't break that barrier. What is your coaching technique or advice that you offer when someone has a threshold of money that they can't get past?
Well, first of all, it's great that they're acknowledging it, because most people will not see it. It'll just be, they'll be completely blindsided and they'll just try and work harder. And that they might just do that forever, or they'll do that to a point where they burn themselves out. I did that early on, where I was just burning myself out, just working harder and working harder and working harder, thinking that if I work harder, then I will break this barrier and I will get more money. The first step is to realize that, okay, we can't just work harder. There is some form of barrier here. So acknowledging there's a barrier, and then working through, like, what is that barrier? Like, what are the stories? What are the experiences that you've been through? What is coming from your parents or the upbringing that you've had? It could be a throwaway line that an uncle said to you, or that a school teacher said to you, or that you were rejected by your girlfriends at primary school, or whatever it was. That it could be completely unrelated to money. And like, I had a client one time, it was around how she had her socks when she was little, and that affected her money mindset now. Like, it can be completely, you can think it's a very unrelated thing, but finding those stories, finding what those blocks are, just identifying, okay, what are those things, like sitting down to go, okay, can I go through this? And I would really recommend that this step, you hire someone, you hire a coach, you hire someone to go through it. You know, it doesn't have to be a particular coach. It could be someone with all different alternative therapies. Like, people go through these money blocks with you, just to understand what those blocks are, because we don't see them. Like, I wouldn't see my own. The next thing in working through those, just you can acknowledge them, and we want to let them go. So there's a number of techniques that I use to let them go, but I use a lot of NLP, hypnosis, like a combination of things to let those things go. But there's so many things that you can throw at this to let it go. And really, as long as you're choosing to let it go, as long as you choose to stop it, and that's the problem, that we're so conditioned in the way that we are. We are turning up as the same person. We're experiencing the same day after day after day, because we've got the same thoughts, the same feelings, and we're taking the same actions. We need to be able to stop the program that we're in enough to say, I'm going to change that thought, which is going to change the feeling that I'm going to feel, and which is going to change the action and then result in a different result. And that's the whole thing around manifesting, that if you want to change it, if you want to up-level it, then you just need to change those thoughts. But that is the hardest thing to do, right? To do that. Now, sometimes we have some underlying values as well. Like, that's, I spoke a little bit about that before. Whereas we act in line with our values. And, you know, maybe you've experienced something before where you've come up against, you've met someone, and you just can't get along with them. Like, you cannot understand their point of view, and you don't understand why they can't see yours. And that is just like a values barrier. Like, you're so strong on your values and they're so strong on theirs, and you're not going to be able to see past that. But if in your values you don't value money, like you actually don't value making money, and that you can make money, that and a lot of women have this, where their values are around service and looking after other people and nurturing and giving, which is so beautiful, so, so beautiful. But at the same time, we have to be okay to say, I am deserving to be paid well for what I give. I give all my services with love, and I'm deserve to be paid really, really well for that as well. And shifting those values, I think, is a deeper thing. That is something that I do as I do a group thing, but I also can do it one-on-one if someone's really stuck. So it's, you know, it's using techniques, anything that you can, hiring a coach to work with you, but getting through these, because often they're so unconscious, and you can build a business, you can get to a certain point, but you most likely will get to your set points. But if you want to move past the set points, You can't do that with strategy. You need to do that working with the subconscious mind. You need to do that with understanding what those blocks are, letting these blocks go, and then applying the strategies. Because I can give you all the money management things, but you won't, you know, we won't actually do it. It's like maybe you've had a friend who's been on a diet before, and you know, they've lost a whole heap of weight and they've become the healthiest version of them. And then you see them a year later or 2 years later, and they've just gone back to how they used to look. Oh, it was too hard. They've gone back to what their body is just being programmed as, their set points, right? So we need, to change that set point, we've got to change the whole identity. We've got to change our personality. We've got to change who we're turning up as, what we're thinking, what we're feeling, and and what actions we're taking.
I want to really highlight something that you said earlier about just change in general, because even bringing this conversation beyond finances and just kind of going into the more intentional life conversation, the wellness and the just general, you know, living and sustaining a wonderful life. When people reach those thresholds, I've read so much literature on the fact that when we reach our own threshold, whether we realize it or not, our desire to move beyond that is pushed by this one concept that we just simply have to work harder. And I want to stress as hard as I possibly can that that is not true. You do not have to work harder to get beyond a threshold. People think, oh, I want a promotion, I have to work harder. I want to make more money, I have to work harder. I want to do X, Y, and Z, I have to work harder. And that's not the case. So something that I've learned this very deeply with, just to reiterate your point, is the idea of quantum leaping. And this idea comes from shifting one thing in your reality that subsequently shifts the rest of your reality. So it's not about this idea of working harder, because what does that even mean? Like, if you're already a hard worker, does that mean putting in more hours? Does that mean, you know, giving up your personal life to work harder? What does that actually mean? And if you can figure out the threshold, and if you can figure out what you need to shift to change that threshold, then everything in your reality changes with it. So I think the perfect example of this, like, there's this, I'm sure you've heard of it, the movie that recently came out, Everything Everywhere All at Once, that like basically is the view of this, but like very bizarre. The concept, however, behind it is very true. If you can do something that shocks your system and shocks your reality, that's what shifts it. And a lot of that work can be done in, like you said, subconscious breakthrough and identifying those limiting beliefs and shifting your mindset around your self-worth, your value, how worthy you are of abundance, etc. So I just want to say that that is such a great jumping off point for our listeners. If you're someone who is thinking about working with like a coach or is thinking about their money mindset and wanting to break that threshold, if you're sitting here nodding your head thinking, yes, I know my threshold, I'm here, like how do I get beyond it? That's how you do it, is shifting something in your reality that will shift the rest. And like you said, Paula, it doesn't need to be like the working harder aspect or the it doesn't need to be something so obvious. It could be something as simple as identifying the subconscious belief of, you know, the way someone treated you in fifth grade and how that's transformed your mind into how you approach everything else. So I'm so glad you brought that up, because that is something that I think a lot of people have a hard time grasping. But once you understand it, it can feel so much easier and so much more empowering to therefore change your life.
I love this. I love this. It's so true, isn't it?
Like, I'm so glad. Yeah,
this is exactly the, I mean, the first time I did it, when I think back to when I did it in my leadership journey, and I didn't even realize I was doing it. Mm-hmm. All I was doing was turning off the old stories and just deciding that I was that leader, just deciding that I did have that job already. And I didn't listen to anyone. And often I would put my headphones in, and it didn't have anything in the headphones, but I just put the headphones in to block out the noise and also to let people around me know that I'm not available for talking at that point. And I was just saying my mantras in my head of that new self. And exactly what you said, you're changing one thing, one thought, letting go of those old thoughts, stop telling those old stories, like just stop it and start to tell yourself that new story of that new life that you actually want to be living, exactly what you said. And that's where you'll experience those quantum leaps. And that's, and it will feel like it happened in no time.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to piggyback off that thought of your mantras, because one of my other questions for you was, you know, for people sitting here saying, okay, but how do I do this? Like, how do I start? So if say they're not ready to hire a coach or not ready to like quite yet deep dive into that, what are your best practices for kind of daily shifts? So you just said like putting your headphones in and practicing mantras and practicing affirmations. What other kind of hot tips do you have that people can practice, you know, in their day-to-day life on their own to start that shift before perhaps working with a coach or going through a program or doing X, Y, and Z?
This is a great question, because, you know, often we think we have to have a coach. Like if you're in a position where you just can't and you don't have the resources to do it yet, you can start right where you are. There's so much information now. I would start with a really simple meditation practice. I started with like a walking meditation, because I just couldn't even think of just doing just meditation. Like I had to do something else with it, right? Mm-hmm. So like a walking meditation that's going to guide you through to really get you connected with your body, and then move to how do I let go of this old story, and how do I just embrace this new story of, and what's that mantra that you want to tell yourself? If you had three words that you could just say over and over and over again, or one little mantra that you could say over and over and over and over again in your head on your way into work or on your way home or on your way to the photocopier or on your way to get a coffee, that you, instead of thinking about all of the negative things that are happening in your day, or all of the things, like a lot of women are thinking about their shopping list or what they're going to cook for dinner or how they need to take the kids somewhere. Like all of that, for me, that just happens in life, and I actually don't need to think about it. It's just going to happen, right? I'll work it out as I get there. But what needs to be going on in your head now is that new mantra and those new thoughts of where you want to be, like you're already there, And that's when your mind is going to start to look for possibilities. Like it's going to start to look for opportunities. You're going to see opportunities, just like what Lauren was saying. Like she got this opportunity to go to this seminar, and it's going to push her a little bit, but she's going. But she wouldn't have seen the opportunity for the seminar if she wasn't really thinking that actually I'm this business owner who has this amazing business. She just wouldn't have seen it.
Yeah, you're totally right. No, because I think there's so much too that goes into mindset work of just being open to more, right? So like the mindset work that I've done is so around, especially around just entrepreneurship in general and stepping into the CEO role, stepping into such a leadership role, has been like, I am worthy of this. I work so hard. I'm smart. I'm knowledgeable. I'm capable. I know that I'm worthy. I know that I can do this. And as I've transformed that mindset and every day believe that more of these types of opportunities have flowed into me. Like the fact that I got to go to the Forbes 30 Under 30 conference and doing something as big as that, and like my goal of being on the Forbes 30 Under 30 list, that's, if someone had told me that was a goal of mine 4 years ago, I would have laughed in their face. And the reason I would have laughed is because I would have never thought I would be worthy of something like that. I would have never thought I would have been capable of achieving something like that. And now that goal feels so tangible to me and so realistic. And that's what's so powerful about this mindset work and so incredible about what happens when you shift your mindset. The doors will just start opening. Like, incredibly, you will walk into one door that has 10 more opportunities in it. You will go to an event that perhaps, like you said, has the one door, or maybe you meet a whole slew of people that, you know, want to work with you or are open to helping you, or, you know, you find that one mentor you've been looking for, whatever it is. So that is so great. And the mindset practices that you mentioned, I just want to reiterate, are so powerful, because those are things that I also do in my daily life, you know, journaling, meditation, mantras, affirmations, just practicing that and becoming your own best champion for your dreams. You know, people are always going to hype you up, your best friends, your family, your parents, your significant other, your kids, whomever. They're always going to tell you how much they believe in you, but none of that means anything unless you believe in you. So becoming the person that champions your goals and your mindset is step number one. And Paula, thank you so much for coming on. This was such a fantastic podcast, and I had such a wonderful time talking with you because I haven't really brought on a lot of money topics yet, and that's very curious to my own mindset as well. But being able to have you on, even sharing my big news of the fact that last year was my first six-figure year, feels so exciting to share. So thank you so much for coming on. And I want to give you the opportunity to share your offering or your coaching or anything with the listeners, because I know it will be so valuable.
Oh, thank you so much. And I've just loved this. I hope that listeners feel the love here. I just want to reach through the screen and give everyone a big hug right now. So it's so exciting.
Anyway. I love that. I wish we could do that.
Virtual hug. Anyway, I'll give you a copy, a free copy of my money playbook. And if you know, your listeners want to grab that's got a whole heap of strategies. It's got 10 strategies on how you can make more money and do it while working less.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, the links for that and all of Paula's links will be in the show notes. And again, Paula, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story and being vulnerable with us. It is so, so empowering to hear someone who, like you said, came and did so much, lost it all, and then did even more. And that is such an inspiring story. And I know there are going to be listeners who are going to be so thrilled to be working with you. So thank you so much for coming on. I so appreciate your time. And this was so, so great.
Thank you.
Of course. All right. I will see all of you beautiful souls next week. Stay tuned for next month's guest. You guys know the spiel. I love you all so, so dearly. And I'll see all of you beautiful souls next week.